Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday, June the 22nd, 2026. What do we got here? 6-22-26, first Monday in the season of summer. It is summer now. Hope everybody had a wonderful Father's Day yesterday and enjoyed themselves. A lot of barbecues, cookouts, and things of that nature going on that I saw. That's great. And what more can you say? Now, there's a lot to talk about this morning. There's a lot to talk about this morning, but this past Saturday, I was at the big Juneteenth celebration with Bobby Floyd, Marion's only Native Grammy Award winner. Mary Ellen Withrow also attended that event. It was a big, big event over at the May Pavilion. A lot of fun stuff going on over there. So I thought before we get to all the hubbub going on in the city and all the stuff going on, we'd recap that event, and then there's a lot to get to here, so stay with me. But on Saturday night, I was able to speak with Grammy Award winner Bobby Floyd, as well as Mary Ellen Withrow, in regard to the big event that had happened on Saturday. So here is Bobby Floyd and Mary Ellen Withrow, two of Marion's favorite children, I guess you would say, natives at this point.
Scott Spears, WGH Talk Radio, here at the May Pavilion in downtown Marion after the big Juneteenth celebration. What a performance it was by Marion's native Grammy Award winner, Bobby Floyd. Bobby, always good to catch up with you every year. This year's show, what'd you make of it?
I thought it was great. It felt great. The audience was great. It was good having all of these people here. It's great having you here. Ohio Health, they played a very big part in supporting what we're doing. They were here. My family was here, close, great friends from high school. So it was great, and the music was much fun.
Bobby, when we look at an event like this, what does this mean to you, an event back home for Juneteenth here right before the 250th anniversary of the country?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm just hoping and praying that we can continue doing it, you know, for you, even after I'm gone. I hope they continue doing it year after year, because Juneteenth is a holiday that should not be erased. You know, it's very important for people to know what this holiday is all about. You know, so I hope and pray that it goes on for the next 250 years.
You know, there was a song tonight, "We Shall Overcome," on the cusp of the 250th anniversary of the country. What does that mean to you at this point?
It means a whole lot, and I don't want to get deep into politics or anything, but there's a lot of stuff going on. I almost said something else in politics that, you know, it kind of reminds me of back in the 60s. I grew up here in Marion in the 60s, and you know what we all, well, you might not know, but I know what we all went through in the 60s, and we were singing that song back then, and it's unfortunate that we have to sing it today also for some of the same reasons we were singing it for back then.
This year, you had a great thing, a residency at the Marion City Schools. What are your memories and thoughts of that residency? It meant so much to a lot of kids. A lot of the students were out here tonight.
They were out here tonight. Oh, that means a lot, too, because I think it's very important to pass it on down to the next generations, to keep music alive, and to encourage young people to play instruments. You know, they're starting to get away from that. You have all of these AI-related websites and, you know, different ways of just having AI, Gemini, and all these websites play music for you where you don't have to know how to play to create music. And there's really nothing wrong with it, but I still think people should learn how to play instruments. And that's real big for me. That's real big in my mind. And so, yeah, it means a lot to have have students come out and for me to go visit them and do clinics and workshops just to keep that going.
What's it like when you're up there and the crowd is with you and the music's flowing and the room is just hopping?
It's inspiring. It's very inspiring. It gives us as musicians more energy. And, you know, it's a two-way thing. When people respond the way we do, we play better. That's what we want. So it's great when people respond that way. It kind of reminds me of playing in church, the church I grew up in.
It was just tremendous here. We want to get one final question, and we're sitting also here with the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, what did you make of the show tonight?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I just enjoy you so much. Yes.
And as I say, I'm sitting here with Mary Ellen and Bobby, two of the most successful people ever from Marion. What advice would you give to the next generation who say, well, I'm from Marion, I can't achieve what I would like to achieve? What advice would you give to them?
To not be discouraged, to keep going for what you want to do in life, because it can be done. There are other people besides me from Marion that went on to do great things. You know, they're musicians from Marion that did great things. So it's possible. So don't give up. Do the right thing. I tell students all the time that want to play music, it's really all about show business. And you separate the two words. It's about putting on a good show and taking care of business. You know, so you have to do both to be successful. So, you know, do what you have to do to be successful. Don't give up. Don't let all these surrounding things that aren't good for you to take control of you. There's a lot out there. You know, I had a lot of temptations when I was coming up. So, you know, you just have to stay focused.
Mary Ellen, what advice would you give somebody?
Well, what he said is exactly what I would say as well. I used to tell them to live a good life, because what if they had the opportunity to do what I did and they didn't get to do it because of what they had in the past? And it impressed them.
Absolutely. Bobby, what would you say to somebody who wasn't here tonight who may want to come next year? Why should they come to this event?
Because it's a great time. The music is great. It's good to get out and socialize with friends, with real people, as opposed to sitting at your computer all night or on your iPhone. You know, come out and be with people and enjoy the atmosphere, the great music, great friends. It's good. It's good for your health. You know, mentally, it's good for you. You know,
well, there were people in this room last night who were out of their seats, all over the floor, having a great time, and a lot of smiles were put on a lot of faces tonight.
That's what we want. That's what we're here for.
That's what happened, and we hope this event grows every year. It's great chatting with the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, and Marion's Grammy winner, Bobby Floyd. Thank you, Bobby.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Scott,
what fun it was chatting with Mary Ellen and Bobby Floyd after the big event on Saturday night. Now, I did want to give you a little bit of a taste of what it was like on Saturday night. Local artist La Costa Mays performed on Saturday night. And here's a little bit of La Costa performing on Saturday night. This was a lot of fun, to be sure. Local artist La Costa Maze, Saturday night. What fun it was. I just let that one play out. That's such a great, great song. And now I want to give you a little taste of the Bobby Floyd. Ended up being a quartet on Saturday night, not just the trio. The Bobby Floyd Quartet. This was a lot of fun from Saturday night. Here's Bobby Floyd and his group. This is something that can't be beat. Grammy Award winner.
Unbelievable, and you are too. You should know that. You know, I think Bobby and I are, we are golfers, and he's a good golfer, so I call him the Big Swing. And he called me the Little Putts. Just think about it, it'll get to you. You ready? Shuffle. Shuffle it. One, a T, a G, two. Feel free to clap your hands. Sir, you can dance if you'd like to. You can move your hips. Yes, you have hips.
Tuesday's just as bad. Call it Stormy Monday. Tuesday's just as bad. Wednesdays are worse. Thursdays also sad. Eagle flies on Friday. Saturday I go out to play.
Elvis sings it like this. I go well to play. I'm not Elvis.
Sonny, you go to church, drop down on my knees and I pray.
Oh baby,
I hear the blues are calling on salads and scrambled eggs. Now baby, I've been a bit confused. Honey, I got you.
Y'all know that's Frasier. You know that's Frasier. But I don't know what to do with those tall salads and scrambled
Now, there's one more clip I wanted to get in this morning because it's the end of the show, and the end of the show is always, always something. So here from Saturday night, the big Juneteenth event is the end of the big celebration, and the house was brought down without question. Thank you. And the house came down on Saturday night. It was something to be in that room. It was electric. The big Juneteenth celebration this past Saturday in Marion. I know Tara Dyer puts a lot of time in on that. I know Linda Sims puts a lot of time in on that event. Bobby Floyd, Marion's only Native Grammy Award winner. Great quartet, La Costa Mays, local recording or performing artist, I should say. He was tremendous. Mary Ellen came out. The whole gang from the radio station was there. It was just a great, great night, to be sure. It was just a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun. All right, and now let's move on to the stuff that won't be as fun here this morning. Well, it may be as fun, I don't know. But here's the thing. Okay, I don't know the facts on this situation, but we're starting to get drips and drabs of information here. You know, last week we were talking about dumpsters, and tonight there'll be a full city council meeting. But here's the story, and most people, when they first saw this, thought this was a joke, but I'm not so sure that it is a joke anymore. Here's the story. And the reason this is not on the news yet is because we don't have the particulars of this. I think we'll have a better grasp after tonight. But the story is, the city of Marion's emergency alert sirens are not working, and the city is directing residents to go to the city Facebook page and download the weather application to rely on instead of the sirens. Now, when this story first came out, people really did think this was they thought it was a joke. I can't imagine that this is a true thing, because to my knowledge, well, I know it's never been said at a council meeting, because I've been to them all. The media has never gotten a press release. I've never gotten a press release. I've never seen anything in the Marion Star about this. I do look at the headlines and the paper on the newspaper rack from time to time. But has anybody heard the sirens as of late? I don't even know how this could possibly happen. And if it did happen, I don't know. Is it a money issue? Is it? I'm not sure. I really don't know. Like I say, I don't have the facts on this, and the facts don't seem to be coming from many places at this particular point. But most people thought this was a joke, because it sounds like a joke that the emergency alert sirens are not working, and the city is directing people to a Facebook app alert system. Well, how do people know to do that? And number two, not everybody has Facebook. I don't quite understand this. I really don't. I hope this is not true, to be honest with you, because I can't make heads or tails of this story. And with something as important as the emergency alert sirens, you think you would want people to know that they are not working. So I don't know. But here we are. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. I really, and the sentiment online seems to be that this can't be real. This can't be a true story. And if it is a true story, how does this happen? And how does this happen without any notification to the public? I mean, I'm not even sure how people were supposed to be directed to go to any kind of Facebook page. I don't understand any of it. Anyway, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Download the weather application and rely on that instead of the sirens. Okay. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? I just think that sounds so strange. And I have to believe that there's more to that story. I have to believe that people who work in the city administration, like the mayor, like Rob Cal, that they would have to have some kind of idea that this would not be a good idea to do this. I can't imagine this is a good idea. Or you know, if it is down, just to alert people that it's down. And how long has it been down? I don't know. Again, if you have any thoughts, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That is a bizarre, bizarre story. And again, I don't know that it's true, but I'm starting to see it pop up in more places. And I'm starting to see people with some substantiation comment on this thing. And I think we've got to get all our facts together on this before we report it as a news story. But as a topic of conversation on a talk show, I certainly don't think it's a bad topic of conversation. And I'll tell you, I'm starting to feel bad for this administration. Because I don't know if this is true or not, but holy moly. If it isn't true, I feel bad that they're getting hit with stuff like this. And if it is true, I feel bad that it's happened. So I don't know. I really, really don't know. Up until last night, I thought it was a joke. But then I saw people who, again, are of substantiation in the city and would seemingly be in the know of this situation, commenting on this. So I don't know the truth of it. And I'm telling you that right up front. I have no idea. So if anybody knows the truth of this, or if anybody has any information they can shed on this, any light they can shed, feel free. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I guess that's the world of social media that we live in, that this could be a completely false story. And I want to say that as many times as I can here. We have no substantiation on this story, so I can't say that it's true or that it's false, but there are a lot of people commenting on this now, and if it's not true, somebody should get up and say it's not true, because it's getting a lot of traction for whatever reason. And if it is true, I certainly wouldn't want to be the one who's going to explain this to anybody, because I would think this would not be a great thing to explain. So there's that. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So if you have any information on the idea that the emergency alert sirens are not working, or that there's any kind of kerfluffle going on there with that, let us know. As I said, a full city council meeting tonight, so everybody should be there. 6:30 p.m. at City Hall. Let's see here. Well, as I said, Father's Day was yesterday. You know, Father's Day is an interesting day, because Father's Day does not really get anywhere near the attention that Mother's Day gets. As a matter of fact, I don't even know that most people know Father's Day is happening until it happens. And it is interesting, you know, since I did this on Mother's Day, I feel compelled to do it on Father's Day, that it's interesting when people praise people who are not their fathers. Like, people will praise their husbands, people will praise other fatherly, I guess, figures in their life. You know, it's always done on social media. That's the world we live in now. But, you know, that's fine, I guess. I mean, I certainly am not going to knock it. But it is interesting, because I guess I understand the idea of if you have children with that person, I guess I get the idea that you would say something nice about them on Father's Day. I guess I understand that. But I don't necessarily get... If you have no children with them, and maybe you're freshly married, or you're newlyweds, or something like that, I'm not really sure why you're wishing them a happy Father's Day. Maybe they need... You know, Isn't that one of those love languages, words of affirmation? Maybe that's what that is. People need to be coached along a little bit. But I will tell you, I was watching a show last week, and I've said this for years. It's not like I'm the first one who has said this. When you see a post of two people who are living together or engaged or married or whatever the situation may be, and they are posting nice things about the other person, you know, glowing things on social media, it is a little strange because you think you just want to turn to them and say it and that would be enough. You know, why do we need to let everybody on our friends list know about it? I think that's just a weird kink in the system in the world we live in the social media world we live in, but you know, if it makes you happy, go ahead and do it. But as I've always said, I always think things are a little rocky when somebody does that. Because why would you need to be effusively nice in public to somebody who is right there in the room with you? You know, just be effusively nice. Walk over and tell them. They'll probably be glad to hear it. I don't know. That's just me. I would appreciate just hearing it in the room. I don't know. Anyway, if anybody's got anything to say in regard to that, go ahead. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Can you imagine 20 years ago if we would say this is how Mother's Day, Father's Day, all this stuff is going to work, that we're going to post our undying gratitude and love on social media? I don't know. See, and then you get caught, because when the thing ends, that lives on forever. You can try to delete the post, but then you're saying all kinds of nice stuff about people. 740-383-9944. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking about the weather siren issue you're talking about, and the purpose of it, behind it, is to, you know, give the people, the citizens, time to react, time to get in the basement, time to get their animals in or whatever in case of a tornado, and there's very limited time in that, you know, so we're not, and I get it, we got budget problems, and these were, for some reason, I think this was, I seem to remember that this was brought up either in a committee meeting or a council meeting.
To apply for a grant, I believe.
Right, yeah. And they mentioned how much it cost to replace it and that it was cost prohibitive and all of that. But I guess for me, I look at priorities and I look at how, you know, people run things and what their priorities are. So it goes back to me where, you know, we spent a fortune on rats and Love Your City and all brand new business cards for every person in every department on premium paper with all kinds of color. There's rats in people's offices. I noticed a couple weeks ago the city handed out a report and to the people of council, and just the level of color. I mean, I'm a Harding Prexy graduate, and I'm proud of my red and black, but I mean, just the amount of color you could see from just sitting out in the audience. And years ago, when I got my first computer, I made up a estimate for a customer. And man, I had all kinds of color this and color that, and it looked spectacular, and I gave it to him. And he's like, wow, you know, this is pretty awesome and everything. And he said, you know, could I maybe get a 10% discount on this price if we just do with a black and white estimate?
Well, you know, and again, I want to be sure to say this. I don't know that this is a true story, because this has been reported nowhere, but... Well, it's been reported by no reliable source that I have seen. But the problem is that I'm starting to see people with some substantiation in the city comment on this stuff. And I hope to God, honestly, that this is not true. Because if it is true, and the city never alerted the media, never alerted the radio, never alerted the newspapers, never said it in a city council meeting to tell people what to do and to let people know that the system was down. You know, it's not the city's fault if the system breaks down. That happens. But that you wouldn't alert anybody is very strange, and that's why I've got to believe maybe this isn't true. I hope it's not true, because if it's true, this is a major, major bungle.
Right, but, I mean, on the other side of that, Scott, we seem to be finding out a lot of different things, not from the administration standing up and looking the citizens in the eye and saying, here's where we're at, here's the tough decisions we got to make. It seems like we always find out after the fact, or it's being, you know, released in a press release. I mean, that's an issue, too.
Well, here's the problem with this one on the whole. You know, we can talk about bus wraps, and we can talk about night bus services, and we can even talk about the dumpster service last week. That's not good, and nobody's going to say it's good, but it's not life or death. This is life or death. There are seniors, there are kids, there are people in lower economic neighborhoods that do listen to these sirens when a tornado possibly could come through or very severe weather could come through. And if they don't know that the system is broken and nobody has alerted them that the system is broken, that's a major, major, major issue. And that's why I'm saying, and being very clear, because I don't want anybody to say that I said this and it wasn't true. I don't know if it's true. But I'm starting to see people comment on this.
Well, and I agree with what you're saying, and I'm not trying to... The reason I bring up the bus thing isn't to throw shade on that or to digress from the conversation you're in. Is for me, it's about your elected officials. You elect them to be good stewards of the money, of the tax dollars.
Absolutely.
So I guess if there was a maintenance issue, you know, they can't help that it broke down. What the city and the county can help is, did they maintain them? Did they put any money towards maintaining them? Those are the things I'd like to hear. How much would replacing them? I can't remember what it was. How much would replacing these or fixing these cost? And then they said back when they were talking about the grant that it was cost prohibitive. Okay, so that number is cost prohibitive. What's the number that was spent on all, and I understand we can't go back and undo it, but it's about opening the eyes of the people and even the administration to, like, come on, people, let's be honest with each other. Let's, you know, were you a good, I mean, at some point, I think somebody's going to have to say, yeah, we really fucked up here on this love your city thing. I mean, I love Marion. I say this often. But, I love the rats. I love the look of it and all that. But it was probably a very unnecessary thing, and it was not a very good stewardship of the money, in my opinion.
Well, here's what I'll say. And like I said, again, not knowing if this is true or not, if it is true, the problem is, I mean, you can run out of money, and you can make wrong decisions, right decisions. I guess that's left up for opinion. But when this system went down, if it indeed did go down, nobody can predict when a system's going to go down. When it did, especially in the spring, which we have been in, which is tornado season, which is severe weather season, and we have had a particularly bad severe weather season this year because of the climate we've had being much cooler. You think the moment you know it's broken down, you would alert the media, you would alert the city council, you would say it in a council meeting, you would get press releases out to as many sources as you could, and if that wasn't done, you put people in harm's way. And that is not a money issue. That's a leadership issue, and I'm not even sure... I don't know. There might even be some legalities around that. That's horrible not to alert people in a situation like that.
I agree. And I think it's, again, I say it constantly, it's a trickle-down from national politics. In national politics, the Republicans don't believe in climate change. You know, the tornado pass, the tornado alley has changed, has shifted. You know, hurricane intensities have shifted. We're cutting funding to these to radar and to science and to all of this, which gives the people the minutes of early warning, because you can't, that's all it is. It's minutes of early warning. And in trying to deny that the climate is changing and they don't want to spend the money, they keep quiet about it. I agree with you 100%. You know, I mean, I don't know. Again, there should be very plain, clear, here's who's in charge of that. Here's whose department that is. So this should be very directly, I mean, kind of like with the dumpsters. It should be very clearly who initiated it, who started it. Bring them up here, stand up, speak to the people, look the people in the eye and say, you know, here's what happened. But that doesn't seem to happen. And when it was focused on prior administrations, you know, they were all about pointing fingers and everything. Now you kind of see everybody wants to be quiet up there. Everybody wants to, well, not everybody. I mean, we have Thad Smith and we have Aaron Rollins, you know, shaking the tree for sure. And I really appreciate that. We have Ralph Smith. I think he's opening his ears and he's trying to gain some understanding and change his approach. I think that we need to really get an understanding of who's in control of this. Who should have? I mean, is that a Rob Cal thing? Is it a county thing? Because it's a county, you know, they're out in the county. So answers to questions would be great.
Well, tonight, like I say, I hope they can get up tonight and say this is not true, and we can go on down the road. But if it is true, I certainly hope they have some answers tonight. And if it is true, I would hope that city council would be possibly angrier about this than they would be about anything. And how many of them knew? If no members of city council knew about this, that's also a big problem, if it indeed is true.
Well, and unfortunately, I think because you have such a Republican majority, I know there are people on the council that will ask questions and will rock the boat, but you also have this whole issue of the Jason Schaber effect. You know, I mean, Jason Schaber was never against the Republican Party. He was never about tearing it down or anything else. He was about representing the people that elected him the best way that he felt he could, and he was elected and hired to represent the people and liaison between the people and administrations, and that's what he did. I don't think, in my personal opinion, that people want party line politics. We want debate. We want questions asked. We want to gain understanding. You know, maybe if they'd start including the people and accept that, you know, when the people are engaging and asking questions, maybe they're thinking about the things that this administration wants to do and not just questioning to be against it. But that's my opinion.
Well, we'll find out tonight, but it's a full council meeting, so I'm sure that I can't imagine this would not come up tonight.
All right, bring your popcorn.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, we got to take a quick break here, but we're going to come back with much more right after this on WGH Talk. We've got a whole another hour to go, and the phone lines will be open. So hopefully, if you have something on your mind, you'll call in. And maybe if Jason's out there, he'll call in. We haven't heard his thoughts on what's going on with these dumpsters, and is this emergency alert siren system not working? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll hear from somebody in the administration. We'll be back right after this.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had...